The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Glory to the Gospel.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow, my friends, what a great and beautiful feast we celebrate today. I was thinking as I was approaching the altar, do you know, we have everything here. We've got all the wind you could ever ask for, and the fire siren started going off behind me as I got up here. Like, yes, this is it, the gift of the Holy Spirit. As if the world needed more warning that the Spirit was being unleashed today. We got it all, siren, wind, and all. So, my friends, there's so much, of course, to say about this passage. I mean, this is the feast of the birthday of the church, because here Jesus commissions his disciples to go into the world with his mission. And his mission is nothing other than the forgiveness of sins, what he'd been doing in his life and through his ministry throughout all of Israel. He now wants to accomplish in and through his faithful followers, and so he does. And we see that this passage is the passage of scripture from the Gospel of John really harkens back to the beginning, the reclamation of man, as it were, and his vocation to live in praise of God and bring his loving rule to all of the world. Here, when we see that Jesus breathed on them, we get some sense of Jesus, the intimacy that God wants to share with man. And we're reminded, of course, of the scene in Genesis where God breathes into Adam's nostrils. Don't go doing that, but we kind of puts us on edge these days to think of that. But God breathes life into Adam's nostrils. Here, Jesus is breathing on his disciples so that God's transformative power can, again, be their very breath. The breath of God is made to be our breath. And it's when we consider that those two scenes in parallel, we might also think back to where we began this spiritual journey. We think back to Ash Wednesday. Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. We are but dust. And in the humility, right, in our acknowledging the fact of our being no more than dust, can we have hearts open to receive the Spirit of God? We are dust into whom God has placed his breath. We are dust vivified by God's own life. And that life is love. So here, this great commission of Jesus, which needs a word, is ours today as well. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. And the disciples are likely to look at Jesus and say, "Whoa, we're not qualified for that." I mean, he would say, "Of course you're not qualified for that. That's why I'm breathing the Holy Spirit into you, so that you can do it. I called you, I will equip you." And that's the same for each and every one of us. We'll come before God in pride like, "You know what, Yeah, forgiveness of sins. Yeah, I can do that. No, we can't. We have to acknowledge that we are dust. And we can only perform the great works of God because we acknowledge we're dust. And we rely on Jesus for everything. Everything we have and everything we are is God's. So we must make a return. Okay, who sins? Let me just get into this. Who sins? I think you probably hear that. That's okay. God is allowing this great gust of wind. He's going to blow me up on this podium. And we're all going to rejoice. Okay, so who sins you forgive are forgiven them. Who sins you retain are retained. Okay, I'm going to cut to the chase. Because God is growing impatient with my homily. So I'm going to cut to the chase. Jesus, when he appears in the room, okay, so one, he's appearing in the room. It's Sunday, by the way, when he appears there. The first day of the week, the first day of new creation. And what does he do to identify himself? He shows his disciples his wounds. He shows them what he suffered in order to forgive their sins. He shows them what he suffered in order to reconcile them to God. He shows them what he suffered in order to bring God's love to life for them. This is our commission, is to go into the world with the forgiving and reconciling love of God. But even in this scene, we realize that it's going to cost us. Because committed to love, we're committed to lives of really vulnerability. We're committed to lives of service. And we know that when we love, as it were, without protection, we're liable to pick up wounds as we go. We're liable to being misunderstood. We make ourselves vulnerable to accusation. You know, well, what is this guy? What's he getting out of this? Why is he doing this? Right? Because love, in the end, is turning the world upside down. Right? The power of God's love. Sorry, God's... God wants to turn the world upside down. And really, he wants to put the world right side up. Yeah, that's the point. And he gives us his spirit to enable us to do it. And that's our commission today. It's to go and allow God to turn the world right side up in me. And how does he do it? He does it by love that knows no limits. Now, the whole retaining of sins thing, because I know you're a little bit curious, the whole retaining of sins thing is that we have to call the world to love God. We have to call the world out of sin, because sin matters. It's rebellion against God. And if we want to live in rebellion against God, we're going to go to the death that way. But God is calling us to life. And my friends, us first. We're gathered here to receive the love of God, a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit, to have love itself be the very foundation and root of our lives, and then through us to the world. Okay? And we're not there then to say, bring the quote-unquote message of salvation, the quote-unquote saving truth, although we are. That's a note of it. It's a minor note of the chord. But here, we realize that it's ours to love the world. It's ours to allow God through us to love his world. It's to allow God through us to extend himself in forgiving love to everyone we encounter. Can we do it? Can we be about this work of forgiveness of sins of ourselves? No, we're dust. But here and now, Jesus is breathing new life into us so that we, like him, and in the strength of his love for us, can love all the way to the end.